You got your Bible open to Luke chapter 2. Are you there?
Amen.
Let's read the Word of God. This is what they call the Nativity story. And I'm going to start with that, and then we're going to move to a few different places this morning. And the title that I had something else in mind, and God kind of led it this way, The Babe in the Gates of Hell. And I want to show you something from the Bible this morning. You'll give attention now to the Word of God this morning, and we'll dismiss you. And by the way, we're not having an afternoon service today. Everybody's got family deals to do. We do. And so we're just going to let you do that. All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. How many of you have ever wanted to be one of those shepherds? Say amen. To be able to see what it is that they saw. Blessed are they who have seen and believe. And Jesus told us, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. I believe the shepherds. I believe the angels. Amen. I believe the Word of God. Now we know, just by way of introduction, we know the angels were present there. We know that they were singing praise and they were glorifying God over the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ. But I also think we know by way of scriptures that the angels serve a dual purpose. Number one, they give praise to the Lord. Number two, they are dispatched as messengers to various people. This is what they're doing here. But we also see in the case of Elisha and his servant Gehazi, we also know that God will circle angels around people to give them protection. And I just sort of believe that God had surrounded Bethlehem, this manger, with maybe even a legion of angels, a host of angels surrounding this place, guarding and protecting what was the most important human being to ever be on this earth, Jesus Christ. And there was a reason why he needed that protection. Now I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you what was it about a baby that was so dangerous to the kingdom and the power of Satan himself. What was it so important about him? We'll see if we can find that out this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask God for your grace and your mercy and your help this morning preaching this message. I thank you, God, for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that as I search these words and I go through the Word, God, you just make things plain. You make it easy. Father, I hope, God, to make it easy for us to understand this morning the message that you've laid on my heart. I thank you for it. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you for the cross, the blood. We thank you, God, that our sins are redeemed, our sins are washed away. And now we have eternal life. This babe born, seemingly unimportant to the world. He was not born in a palace, not even born in a guest house or an inn. Born outside in a manger, in a place where animals slept, where animals fed. He was laid in that place, wrapped in those clothes by his mother. And the whole world, Father, did not pay attention to this, but we know that the devil took note of what was born in this manger in Bethlehem. And Father, this babe represented his demise and his destruction. And he tried everything he could, including hanging the Lord of glory on a cross and seeing him die. And yet, Father, you gave Jesus the victory even over death. And the devil lost, and he continues to lose, and he will lose. And all the destruction that he attempts in our lives, it won't work. Because, Father, represented in this baby is the destruction of the power of hell itself. And Father, we ask God for your grace and your blessing. Lord, Father, help me to minister to these people, not only here but around the world. Bless the message. Bless your word as it's preached this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. We have a vision given to the Apostle John of the birth of the man-child. That child, of course, being Jesus. By the way, we were singing these songs, and a lot of these Christmas songs not only deal with the first coming of Jesus Christ, but they also deal with the establishment of his kingdom here on this earth. And I know that Donald Trump won the election to be president. The Electoral College has spoken. He now officially is the president of the United States, going to be sworn in January 20th. But I vote for Jesus to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the whole earth. Somebody say amen. Do away with the United Nations. Do away with them taking power over Israel. Because when Jesus comes back, he's not going to reign out of Independence, Missouri, Salt Lake City, Utah, Rome, the Vatican. He's going to sit on a seat in Jerusalem from Mount Zion and rule the world. And we're going to rule with him one of these days. That he is the Prince of Peace. So when we celebrate the Lord's coming the first time, we are celebrating his coming the second time, because I believe he's coming. Amen. And I'm some days I'm like you. I just soon let's get it on. Amen. Let's get it on, get the war started so we can finish it, so we can have peace on earth. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. The devil knows how dangerous that baby is. And I want you to contemplate this. I want you to look at the scriptures. And then there's two things I want you to think of. Number one, the reality of this. This is Jesus Christ. But let me share something else with you. It says in here that he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Did you know that in one of the letters to the seven churches, Jesus mentioned to those who overcome, he would let them rule all nations with a rod of iron? Did you know that when Jesus was talking about the light of the world, he said, I am the light of the world, but then he also said, ye are the light of the world. Did you know that Jesus, the seed of the woman, is going to bruise the head of Satan himself? But did you also know in Romans 16 that Paul said, may the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly? So what I'm saying to you is, when you see the birth of Jesus, when you see the devil going after that innocent little babe that nobody else thinks he's a big deal. I mean, babies are born all the time, and I'm not going, look at that, get away. Okay? They're just babies. They can't do anything. They're not a threat. But the devil knows something. He knows. He knows what that babe represents. And let me tell you something. When you were saved, when God first got a hold of you and dealt with you and shook you, and you confessed your sins and you repented and you said, God, I want you to live my life. I want Jesus in my heart. You remember that day? I guarantee you the devil was on you right after that. Amen. Why? You're a threat. You don't know nothing about the Bible. You don't know all the theological terms. All you know is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You know that part, but you know what? You're a threat. Jesus, in fact, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at Revelation chapter 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 is always a number of promise. She is adorned with God's promise on her head. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. Look at verse 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Maybe you were in a church service. Maybe you were at a revival meeting. Maybe you were at your home. But God started dealing with you. And God started, the Holy Ghost started pounding on you to give your life to the Lord. And as the Holy Ghost was working on you here, the devil was working on you over here saying, don't do it. Don't do it. We got parties to go to. We got liquor to drink. We've got things that we're going to do. We got parties. And if you get saved, you're going to have to quit all that. And you can't quit all that. You know you can't do that. He's working on you. He does not want you to give your life to the Lord. Why? Because the moment you do, you're a soldier. Amen. You are a threat, Roy, to the kingdom of the devil himself. Why? Because you got a crown on your head. That crown is a crown of promise. And the devil knows that as soon as you're born again, even a babe in Christ, you're a threat. And he was there to try to devour you as soon as you were born again. How many of you remember that day? Say amen. He's been working on you ever since. But look what happened. In verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. He was ready to devour you, but what did God do with you? By the way, one of these days, the devil's going to get real close to us, and God's going to blow a trumpet, and we're going to be caught up with Jesus in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody say amen. You can clap your hands if you want to. Amen. Now watch this. The babe is a threat to the devil. It is a threat to his kingdom, and he wants to try to have it killed. Do you remember when Jesus was born? The two, what we call the Christmas stories in the Bible, one in the book of Luke, which we read, the other one in the book of Matthew. After Jesus was born, Herod found out about it. What did Herod want to do to Jesus? Kill him. He was so bent on this, Wayne, that he decided, if I'm going to get him, I'm going to have to kill every male child 2 years old and younger. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy that did this. But Herod sent soldiers out to slaughter every male child 2 years old and younger. That would have been Hunter. That would have been Mason. That would have been, what's his name? Jackson. Slaughtering. Why? Because we're going to make sure we get the threat. The little babe that is a threat to the kingdom of Satan. In your Bible, Genesis chapter 22. Watch this. Man, I like this. By the way, Herod tried to kill Jesus. Did it work? No. Where's Herod right now? In hell. Where is Jesus right now? Right hand of the Father. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. Now watch this. There was a promise given to Abraham. In Genesis 22, God has asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac. He did not tell him to sacrifice him. He told him to offer him. And that's exactly what Abraham did. And upon that time, God blessed Abraham. And he said, do not, you know, put the knife to your son. And God provided a sacrifice for that. Now look at what the promise made to Abraham was. In Genesis 22:15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, now watch this, shall possess the gate of his enemies. You think about that. Our enemy is hell. Hell has gates. God said to Abraham, I will cause your seed, which we know is Jesus Christ, to possess the gates of the enemy, which means he will be in charge of all the kingdoms of the earth, including the devils. And you can't do anything, devil, without Jesus giving permission. You remember that, people. The devil cannot do anything to you without God's permission. Job. The devil wanted to go after Job. Couldn't do it without God's permission. The devil wanted to kill Job. Couldn't do it. God said, no, you can't do it. Don't think that the devil is more powerful than God. He's more powerful than you. But he's not more powerful than God. God promised to Abraham that the child, his seed that was going to be born out of his loins, was going to possess the gate of his enemies. The devil is being strategic here. He sees Jesus being born. He knows that the promise there is that he's going to possess the gates of his enemy, so he wants him killed. Revelation 12, as soon as the child is born, he wants him killed. Listen, I want to tell you something. Who knows the number of potential threats to the devil's kingdom that have been killed as babies in this country? Who knows the threat? You see what I'm getting at? Baby killing has been going on for years. Why? Because of the threat. Now in Matthew chapter 16, watch this. Watch this. I got it up on the screen. Open your Bible up. Matthew 16, I want you to see this. I'll wait while you turn pages and I'll take a sip of water. Man, I like this. And as I was putting this together, y'all know me, I wanted to have about 400 verses of Scripture. And I just thought, man, don't do it. Don't do it. It's Christmas. We got ham and turkey and everything else waiting. But I want to give attention to the Word of God this morning. I want you to see this. Matthew 16, verse 13. You there? Say amen. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, that's important. Because this world out here, and I'm not kidding you. I've seen niceness come out of people this year like I've never seen before. I have. Usually, at Christmas time when you go to stores, you're glad that you're carrying a weapon. You know, people are ignorant. And just, Wayne, for some reason, this year, I've seen more niceness out of people than I have meanness. And I like that. I'm not in a bad mood. Going to the store, amen, it's nice. People are letting you in. Go ahead and go on in. Go ahead, I'll hold the door for you. You want that parking spot? Go ahead and take that parking spot. I don't need that parking spot. It's amazed me. And I'm hoping, maybe, that we can have and take opportunity of the time and the season that we have been given to show people who Jesus really is instead of what the fake preachers made him out to be and the hypocrites. Somebody say amen. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who in here believes that? Say amen. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, now listen to this now, here we go. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody say amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now watch this. I do not believe the Bible is teaching you that Peter is the rock. The church is not built on a man. It is built upon the foundation of the doctrine of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But it's not built on Peter. Peter failed. The rock never does. You know what the rock is? Peter said it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. In fact, look at here. Look at, you search the scriptures. You never find a reference to Peter being called the rock. It's not there. Some say, well, his name, Petra, means a stone. Yeah. But you never find in the scripture where Peter is referenced as the rock of the church. It's not there. That's also the same thing. You'll not find Mary being the one who intercedes for you and prays for you. That's not there either. Amen. Look at here. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Peter. No! That rock was Christ. It was not Mary. It was not the Vatican. It was not Rome. It's not the popes and the monks and the nuns. Amen. It was Jesus himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him. See that word, on him? My faith is on the rock. The solid rock, Jesus Christ, and no other. Why would we trust men? Why would we trust churches and popes? Why would we do that? Especially this one. Have you heard some of the things coming out of his mouth? That man is reprobate. Yes. Amen, he is. He's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. By the way, here's the rock. And to those of you who believe in this Bible, it is precious to us. There is no other way for us. Don't ask us, world, don't ask us to stop believing this book. It is all that we have. And I'll die with it. I'll die for it. And this book, Ron, to me, is precious. I do this. If I happen to pass on before all y'all, I want you to put a Bible right here. Because it's precious to me. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now watch this. Remember what the rock is. Here's the rock. The rock is Jesus. The rock is his word. When you are in trouble, God is telling you to go to the rock. The devil simultaneously is trying to destroy the rock. Remember what happens to the seed that's sown by the wayside? Who comes and devours it? The fowls of the air, which is Satan. They come and try to get away, take away the Word of God. The devil eating the seed of the Word of God is the same picture as the dragon standing before the woman to devour the child as soon as it's born. This book and our Jesus is a threat to what the devil has in store for this world. That's why they want it out of the way. They want it out of the pulpits, and it's working. They want it out of the American homes, and it's working. They want it out of the school systems, and it worked. The children that we're producing in this country because of the public school godless. In fact, I don't think the public school's godless. I just think they have different gods in there. And the product that they are producing is a godless society that hates the Word. They want the Word destroyed. But that Word is the rock. And upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. And I want you to remember that the gates of hell shall not prevail against this. Amen. There's a picture of this in your Bible. And it has to do with the birthing of a child of promise. Take your Bible. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13. Here's the babe right here. The title of the message is The Little Babe in the Gates of Hell. We sing about Jesus at Christmas time. We sing about the baby in the manger. We sing, Oh Silent Night, Holy Night. We sing, Oh Little Town of Bethlehem. We sing all these nice, sweet songs about this beautiful holy night that Jesus is born in. And that's the, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the scene that we get from the Bible, Luke chapter 2. That's what we get. But understand, in the spiritual world, the devils were howling. They were afraid of this child because they knew who it was. And they knew that it had to be destroyed. Let me give you another picture of it. Moses, who was trying to destroy all the children at the time Moses was born. Pharaoh. Why? Because Pharaoh realized that they represented a threat to his kingdom. Did it work? No. Moses was born, sent down the river, raised by Pharaoh himself. Amen. See, God's just got a sense of humor that way. Amen. But that child, Moses, was a child of promise. And that child was meant to be a deliverer of the people, and Pharaoh knew it. Here is, in your Bible, another child of promise. His name is Samson. Judges 13:24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtael. Did you know that Samson was a prophesied child? The man's name was Manoah. And Manoah and his wife was barren, and she had no children, and she wanted a baby. And so the angel of the Lord came down to his wife. We don't have her name, but came down to her and promised her that she was going to have a son and that he's going to be a Nazarite from birth. Not going to eat any grapes or raisins or drink any wine or touch any dead things. No razor was to come to his head. And then when her husband comes home, she's telling him, he's not sure if he believes it or not. Well, the angel of the Lord then tells him, she's going to have a baby. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the deliverer of his people. That's who Samson turned out to be. And the devil hated his guts. The devil, in the form of the Philistines, you got to watch. You got to turn your Bible. Turn your Bible to Judges chapter 16. Man, I love this. Judges chapter 16. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. Now I want you to get this scene. Samson is inside this city. He's spending the night in there. The Philistines hate Samson. Why? He's got more power than they do. Now you listen to me. The tricks that the devil plays on you is he's trying to tell you that you are so weak that you don't have any power against him. And what he wants you to do is just lay down and let him tear you apart. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to make it easy on him. Did you know that you don't have to? Did you know that you have a power against the devil that he cannot withstand? You know what it is, Edward? It's this. You raise a sword at him. Now, I don't mean just say, "Hey, devil, look at this." That don't work. This does. Read it. And if you feel inclined, read it out loud. And say, "How long should I read it?" Until he's gone? Amen. Well, what if that takes all day? So what if it takes all day? Well, what if I can't eat all day? So what if you... Listen, we're all overweight anyway. Amen. Don't eat. Pray. Read your Bible. He'll leave. But he'll, in the process, growl and snarl and try to get you weak and try to convince you that you can't beat him. And all you got to do is get your sword out and go to work. I promise you he'll leave. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. Raise your hand. Amen. John, I see you up there. Now look at this. They compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, "In the morning when it is day, we shall kill him." We got him trapped in here. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. By the way, when is Jesus coming? When are the wise virgins, when do they hear the call that says the bridegroom cometh? Midnight. Midnight. And arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city. I like this. Iron gates. Samson walks up to him. Edward grabs both of them. Like Hulk. Puts them on his shoulders. Watch this. Look at what it says. It said it took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Here is the gates of hell. They trapped him in and said, "We got him." Listen to me. The devil knows your trap, doesn't he? He knows, Philip, what he can get you with. He knows what he can hold you with. He knows what he can trap you with. He knows what he can put you in bondage with, doesn't he? Usually it starts up here. And you've got one fact. No. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." The church. On the rock. Samson takes the bars. Jesus takes the cross. On his shoulders. And carries that up to the top of a hill called Calvary. Amen. Samson's got the gates of hell that did not prevail against him. Woo! The gates of hell, and he puts them on his shoulders and carries on top of the hill. And he's looking at the Philistines going, "Didn't work. It didn't work." Samson was that babe that was a threat to the kingdom of the Philistines. Moses was that babe that was a threat to Pharaoh's kingdom. Jesus is that child that destroyed the power of the gates of hell itself. How did he do it? How did Samson defeat his enemies? In his death? How did Jesus defeat our enemies? In his death. How will you defeat your enemies? You gotta die. You gotta die. Die to the self. Die to the old ways. Die to the world. Become a living daily sacrifice, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. You know what you are? You're a newborn babe every single day. You are renewed every single day. God's mercy in your life is renewed every single day. Every day you wake up and say, God, I want to try this again. God, what I failed at yesterday, God, I want to do it right today. Somebody say amen. And we just keep getting, it just gets better and better and better and better until we roll on into victory. Somebody say amen. I tell you what, I like this. The child. Look up there on the screen. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Look up there. Jesus' heel was bruised where? When he went up with the gates of hell on his shoulders and laid it on the cross, he won. And you win.